In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. I'll read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. This being the Word of God, let us hear it. We've heard this portion of His Word before, but may we never tire of hearing it and grow thereby. Again, hear now your God from Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abided in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. May God bless this portion of His holy word to our hearts. Heavenly Lord Jesus, we are here mainly to hear Your word. And we are thankful that You have brought us together once again for the safety, for the strength that we receive. We're thankful that there are others like Bill that's come this morning, and like Kareen that has come as well, even though she's suffering a bit. Christine, Amy, there are many of us who are hurting, who are having challenges and difficulties. But we just put them all up to You. But we'd rather be where the action is, the spiritual action, and that's in the service of the saints. So bless Your word powerfully to us this morning. We ask it in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, you know the story. You've heard it before. The angels appeared to the shepherds that were just outside of Bethlehem, watching over their flock by night. And they brought glad tidings. That's what the gospel means, right? Glad tidings. The Christmas gospel, the Christmas message, if you will. That unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they brought this glad tidings, this gospel message, or Christmas gospel message, if you will, with a sign. They said, "This will be a sign that the babe, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And then that angel that first appeared to them, which caused them to fear at first and tremble, you know, you see an angel, believe me, you will just stop in your tracks and freeze. But after the angel told them to fear not and gave them this good message, they were comforted, and then a host of angels appear, and of course they sung this doxology, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I'm going to talk about peace and goodwill tonight. You know, what's that all about? But this was a remarkable thing. So, obviously, they weren't doing this to exercise their jaws, right? The angels flapping their jaws, so to exercise their voice. They were doing it for a reason. They had a message from God to bring to the shepherds to cause a response. And the shepherds responded. They made haste. They visited Mary and Joseph and the babe. They found that sign to be the case, just as it was prophesied. He told them. Mary also responded, because she, the shepherds told her a thing or two that she didn't know. And then the shepherds went abroad and they published abroad, says the Word of God, published abroad. Where they went, they told the people, the citizens of Bethlehem, in that vicinity, what had happened, what they were told by the angel. And so I want to talk about this. There were kind of three responses, right? Two responses from three groups, if you will. There was the response of the shepherds to the angel's message. There was the response of Mary and Joseph as well to the angel's message. And there was the response of the citizens of Bethlehem to the shepherds publishing it, you know, sharing it. And of those three responses, we could break them into two categories, positive and negative. And I want to talk about the positive, and I want to talk about the negative. I want to speak about unbelief, and then I want to speak about belief, the response of unbelief, the response of belief. So those three things, right? The positive, negative, the response of unbelief, the response of belief. Three simple points. And most of you have heard these before mentioned one or another time. But I want to emphasize it once again. As I said, the shepherds had a message to tell Mary that she didn't know. She hadn't heard, and she hadn't seen, right? The shepherds seen an angel, gave them a message, gave them also a sign. This will be the sign. And then a host of angels appeared out of the sky, if you will, from the heavens, and praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill. To men and women of favor. Mary hadn't heard this. Certainly didn't see it. Now, Mary did have a message from an angel, the angel Gabriel, a year earlier, almost, visited her and said that, you know, you're going to have a baby, but I'm a virgin. How am I to have a baby? The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you will name that baby Jesus. Means salvation. Christ means anointed one or Messiah. Jehovah saves. The Messiah saves. There's also other things that Mary had seen and heard that the shepherds did not. You know, so there was kind of a sharing time back and forth with them, right? Mary had that message from Gabriel, then a little later on had visited her a relative, Elizabeth, and had another message because the baby John in the womb of Elizabeth leapt in that womb, and there was a revelation there that blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Mary had that message. And then Joseph also had a visitation and said, look, I know Mary is a virgin. She hasn't been with a man. Joseph, you can take her to be your wife. Don't put her away. So all that had happened prior to what the shepherds had just seen and heard. So, you know, things are coming together now. And there is a lot to tell. Now, Mary, when she heard the message of the shepherds, who heard the message of the angels, whom they saw, how did she respond? It says that she pondered these things in her heart, right? When she heard about these things, she pondered them. What does that mean? What does it mean when you ponder upon something? You not only remember it, you do remember it, you think about it, you reflect upon it over and over again. It's something that sort of you can't get out of your mind, like a song. The tune of a song that you just can't get out of your mind. These words were sort of ruminating through her, and she just could not, and also the words that she heard from Gabriel and Joseph heard, and the revelation she heard from her, from Elizabeth, that blessed is the fruit of your womb. That kind of thing just continued to ruminate in her and just sort of advance within. What did the shepherds do? The shepherds ran out. They ran in haste to Mary to see this that the angel said, and then to relay what happened. And then they went out and they published abroad. They told everybody about what they had seen and heard. That's the positive response. The positive response of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, right? Pondering, reflecting upon, ruminating over it, not being able to get it out of mind, certainly out of heart. It was there. It was in the core of her being. And the shepherds were so excited that they went about and said and told everybody they possibly could before they went back to their flock what they had seen and heard. Now the people, it says here, that were told these wonderful things, the gospel, the Christmas gospel message that the angels shared with the shepherds and the shepherds shared with Mary and Joseph and so on. The people, it says, they marveled. Okay? They wondered at these things. They wondered. What does that mean? They doubted? No, it doesn't really mean that. You know, like, I wonder if you are serious, you know, that kind of attitude. No. Because the reason why, when the shepherds told them, is because the shepherds were respected as honest people. They were hardworking, honest, simple people. You know, they didn't, it's not that they weren't capable of lying. They were not full of sophistry, like you hear the politicians and the lawyers today. They lie sophisticatedly, right? They're sophisticated. That's what sophistry is. Basically, it's a lawyer who lies, is full of sophistry. Well, the shepherds were not full of sophistry. They were not full of guile. They didn't speak with forked tongue. They told the truth. As they saw it, this is the simple thing that we, this is what happened. And the people wondered, they marveled at this. They didn't ponder it. They didn't share it. They simply marveled. You know, this is interesting. And so it wasn't full of doubt necessarily. This is a very interesting story. They believe it's true. The shepherds believe it's true. Probably has some truth to it. They certainly saw a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. They saw all that. And, they were, believing, half believing. But that was about it. Right? And so you have those two, generally two responses, the positive and the negative, the one of faith and the one of unbelief. Now, I want to tell you why the people that wondered at this, that marveled at this, that found this somewhat awe-inspiring, why that's the response of unbelief. And then I want to tell you a little bit more, share just the response of belief and what our calling is. Why is it unbelief that they marveled? And not in a bad way. That marvel is not, it's not meant they wondered. When it says they wondered, and not in a doubting way. There might have been a little doubt mixed in, but not in a really doubting way. They wondered at this. They marveled at it. They were in awe over the story. But why is that the response of unbelief? Well, first of all, it's a response of unbelief because they didn't follow up with any action whatsoever. It hit them in the head and maybe traveled a little bit down towards the, and then it stopped. And then shortly thereafter, out of sight, out of course, what happened is the wise men from the east came several months later and visited Mary. But before they visited with Mary and Joseph and to see this babe now, little grown up, a few months old, they stopped off and they asked, where is this baby? We've seen a star and we're wondering where this the Savior is. And no one knew. They had forgotten. Just a few months. They had forgotten all about it. You know, some people, I hope no one here, but some people are going to forget Christmas and New Year and peace on earth and prosperity in a week, maybe less. That's the response of unbelief, you see. They heard it, and then it was out of mind. The wise men find it, and there's no one there except Mary, Joseph. You'd think that that stable would constantly be, or now the place where they're residing outside of Bethlehem, would be swarming with guests and visitors just to see this sight, this baby that was born that the angels spoke about and all that. No one was there. Except Mary, Joseph, the babe, wise men, maybe a servant or two. Right? Out of mind. Now, why did it take such a short while for these people who wondered about this, who were in awe over it, why did it take such a short time for it to escape? Why? I'll tell you why. Because they were expecting, having gone back through the Old Testament and misinterpreted what the prophet said because they were unbelievers, because they wanted to hear something that squared with their way of thinking, and a Messiah, a Savior, born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just didn't fit the image, didn't fit the picture of what they had been told by the prophecy, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the rabbis and all that, that when the Messiah comes, he's going to level Rome. He's going to force them to, he's just going to conquer them. And Israel is going to rise, Jerusalem's going to rise as the power of the earth. And so they were anticipating a savior of royalty. They were anticipating a God to come down and do his thing for them and establish them as the kings and the queens, the princes and the princesses on earth.
You know, much like a lot of Christians, like Reconstructionists and some post-millennialists think, that there's going to be this golden age on this fallen, sin-cursed earth, and that things are going to prosper and blossom, and everything's going to be great when it's getting worse and worse by the day. Technology isn't. That's true. But man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And so, unbelief interprets the Bible, the Word of God, according to its own image. And brothers and sisters, I think we need to be careful, friends, about doing the same thing. About taking the Word of God, taking the words of God, and try to tailor them according to our own best thinking. That's what we do. That's what the liberals do. I mean liberal Christians. Not necessarily, I'm not talking politics. The liberal Christians do. They pervert the message according to their interpretation, what they want to hear God saying. If God doesn't say it in exactly the way or the fashion, they twist it and turn it, or else they don't accept it. And that's what a lot of people do. Certainly they're doing it this Christmas season and New Year's. They don't believe the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't change their lives. It's in and out. It's fine and dandy for a few days, maybe a week or two, and then it's back to the old routine, just like these unbelieving citizens of Bethlehem. They were back to their old routines. They heard the thing. They wondered about it. It was a marvelous message. Yeah, praise God, yes and amen. And then they went back to their life, went back to their old routine, which is what all kinds of people do, even those who are visiting churches at this time of year. They'll go back to their own routine. They'll, you know, just out of sight, out of mind, like babies. Out of sight, out of mind. It doesn't change a thing in my life. It doesn't do anything for me in my life. I'm still me, and I'm going to go the way that, this crippled, decrepit, sick, and perverse world is telling you to go. The way everybody else is telling you go, living by the pleasure principle, or the do this or do that principle, or the success in life principle, whatever it is that they're telling you to do, and you'll just follow suit. Hopefully I'm not talking about anyone here, I hope. I don't know your hearts. I don't think so. I hope not. Not a single one. But that's what people do. With the glad tidings, the Christmas gospel. In essence, this is the gospel message that a Savior is born. A sign is given. The angels say, sing glory to God in the highest. Peace, goodwill. And you'll take it. People will take that message. Unbelief will take that message. That's not a bad thing to take. And do nothing with it at all. Not change one iota except for the worse. Now, belief ponders it. Belief takes it into his life. A believer takes it into his or her life and is changed thereby more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. I want to become more and more like Jesus. I want to think about you. I want to sing about Jesus. I want to eradicate my lust from my life, my anger from my life. I want to walk in holy living. I want to be a godly person, because it's so healthy, not only for the soul, but also for the body as well. It's healthy to live a good, holy life, you know? It really is. And it's happy, too. I'm happy. All the problems I have had in my life, terrible problems, some sinful problems still, I'm happy. Why? Jesus makes it so. No matter what happens. I pray every day, Lord, whatever it is that happens to me, I get a disease. I get two. I get three diseases now. I get this cancer. I get this whatever it is. I pray that I don't lose my faith, hope, and love. I know it's going to diminish me a little bit. I know it's going to set me aback. I know it's going to take my strength from me. I know it's going to do this and it's going to do that. But I don't want it to overwhelm me, Lord. I want to be able to thank my Lord Jesus Christ every day of my life like Job. I want to be like Job. I know it's possible because a man did it. And I want to be like that. I want to be like the psalmist that declares all kinds of wonderful things, and he didn't live in luxury like you and I. They had a rough it every single day of their lives, and they were praising God and singing glory to God in the highest, and they had enemies all around them. They didn't have running water, like we have in our home. They didn't have heat and air conditioning. They didn't have any of that stuff. They didn't have houses like we do, furniture and all that, televisions and whatever, smartphone. They didn't have none of that. And they were happy, praising God, roughing it. Many of our pioneer brothers and sisters, what do you have to complain about? What are you complaining about? See, we have a calling. And that calling is to ponder these things, to take them into our lives, and to share them as much as possible with other people. Not like unbelievers that take these things in and wonder about them and they're inspired by them for a day or two, a week, a month, and then it's forgotten. No, but we ought to take this around town. We ought to share this with everyone we possibly can. Brothers and sisters, like this person that's coming before us in just a moment now to reaffirm his faith. We ought to share our faith as given an opportunity. People say, well, why should we become members of the Church of Jesus Christ? Why? Well, I believe in Jesus Christ. I don't have to become a member because Jesus said, he who declares me before men, I will declare before my Father in heaven. And he who denies me, I will deny before my Father in heaven. And what greater way? It's not the only way, but it's the greatest way, the highest way to declare in the service before the Lord and his people that, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, my Savior and my God. There is no higher way to do that. What an opportunity to do that. That, brothers and sisters, what you see demonstrated here in just a moment, is the response of belief. Like Mary, like shepherds, like you and me. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us. Bless us this day. Bless us on our way as we go home. Help us to remember the things that we have heard from the word read and from the preaching of the gospel, and also from the faith that is proclaimed before you now in your sight. For we ask these things in your wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Amen. And now before Jeremy comes forward, and Elder Bailey, I want to say that the session is responsible to meet with the person coming forward, either to affirm his faith or reaffirm his or her faith. The session has to meet and be satisfied that person is telling the truth. Is saying what he believes in his heart. And it was really very...